our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 84, the stanza 1 and 2. 84, the stanza 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee my counsel make thee know. 1 and 2, 84. Reading of the holy and infallible word of God can be found in Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Before the 12 articles of our Christian undoubted faith, and afterwards of the Dort's canons, the third and fourth heading, Article 12 and 13.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 25. A Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Article 12 on page 108. And this is the regeneration so highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive, which God works in us without our aid. But this is in no wise effected merely by the external preaching of the gospel, by moral suasion, or such a mode of operation that after God has performed his part, it still remains in the power of man to be regenerated or not, to be converted or to continue unconverted. But it is evidently a supernatural work, most powerful and at the same time most delightful, astonishing, mysterious, and ineffable. Not inferior in efficacy to creation or the resurrection from the dead, as the scripture inspired by the author of this work declares, so that all in whose heart God works in this marvelous manner are certainly, infallibly, and effectually regenerated, and do actually believe. Whereupon the will thus renewed is not only actuated and influenced by God, but in consequence of this influence becomes itself active. Wherefore also man is himself rightly said to believe and repent by virtue of that grace received. Article 13. The manner of this operation cannot be fully comprehended by believers in this life, notwithstanding which they rest satisfied with knowing and experiencing that by this grace of God they are enabled to believe with the heart and love their Savior.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, we draw nigh unto thee this evening hour of this Sabbath day, the day of rest, that we might find rest and have an hour of rest. We pray for the mourning family again, but also for the widow in our midst who remembers 2 years ago her husband passed away, repenting and believing. Although he suffered a severe judgment in his soul, but thou hast broken his heart, and we remember these things. Remember the widow and her children. Be with them where they might be in the world. Lord, remember them in mercy. But all our children and grandchildren, all our fathers and mothers, all our brothers and sisters, family-wise, but also this nation, the government, the churches, if they are not preaching the truth, bring them back to the church of all ages and places, confessing the adopted Christian faith with the words of the 12 articles. The triune God, working salvation, the Father who elects, the Son who merits, and the Holy Ghost who applies and sanctifies. We need to know the three persons of the Trinity in the persons and in their work on our souls. O Lord, but we back with thee. Have mercy upon us. Make us faithful, even if it's an enmity around us sometimes. But make us faithful today. Like we read this week, Lord, thou knowest, willing to die for truth for thee. Taken for granted, all slandering and misuse. But bless also the ministers around us, which kind of denomination they are. Use them as messengers of thee. Give them a true understanding and true faith. Knowing thee, being born again. O Lord, remember the consistories, the schools, the homeschoolers, the mothers who teach. Be with them, give them wisdom, understanding, and the children obedience and zeal to work not only for the things of the times of this time and this age, but for the time to come, no eternity to come. Lord, bless the government that we might have a quiet and peaceful life. We pray for them. Prime Minister and all the ministers, the Queen in England, but of our old home, the Netherlands too, and the King. We pray for the United States. It seems to be in upheaval, but we don't know. There seems to be a purpose, but we don't know what's the purpose for it sometimes. We ask thee, bless thy word into us. And that's thy work. It's even like creation or resurrection of death to be born again. It's a powerful and glorious work. Not understood, but believed and experienced. O Lord, Holy Ghost, work in our hearts, please, young and old, and to make us ready to meet thee in peace, be inheritance of the new paradise, of which thou hast said to the murderer, today you will be with me in paradise. In paradise. Never to sin anymore, never to fall. Always to see thy face in glory. Remember the family, the Han. Lift them up. Bring their hearts into thee. Looking only to thee. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we continue with Article 12 and 13. But let me give the content. I've said once that the Reverend Fry in Barneveld has said that there comes a time they teach the regeneration without faith. You can be a concerned Christian and regenerated but have a no faith. That's what they teach. And then they teach also, and it's the next error, they teach that you can have faith without knowledge of Christ. You can be a believer, but Christ is not revealed to your soul. That's what they teach. That's a second error. And Friar said, that comes. We are mid in it. He said, but that's not the truth. We need to be born again. In congregation now, I even teach you these things. The regeneration is a work of God in us, without us. Again, in us, without us. We call it the passive side of the regeneration. It's not my work. It's the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, work in faith and repentance, or repentance and faith in my heart. That's not my work. I don't even cooperate with it. It's a sovereign grace. It's His work alone. Therefore, He will be glorified alone. Out of Him, through Him, and unto Him are all things. And now I talk to the children of God. Did you cooperate? Did you work for it? It's God's work. And therefore, He will be glorified. Well, congregation, that's the passive side. But if God works in you, you work it out. You will believe and repent. Let's make it plain. God doesn't believe for you. Christ doesn't believe for you. If He works in you, the regeneration, He works faith and repentance, or repentance and faith. And you believe and you repent. But not as a work of yourself, a work of God in Christ. So passive, that's a work in us, without us, to the sovereign grace and glory of God. But if God works in you, you believe and repent. So God first, and He makes you to believe and to repent, or to repent and to believe in Christ. Now we come to it. Second, they have distracted regeneration from Christ. They made regeneration a separate entity. I'm born again. But you can be born again outside of the union with Christ. You can't. He who is in Christ is a new creature. All things are past, and all things became new. You can be a new creature outside of Christ. And I come to it. Article 12 names three or four words. It's the new creation, the resurrection from the dead, the making alive, and regeneration. They're all the same words, or different words for the same matter, for the same thing, for the same work. And if you look carefully in the scriptures, and I'll do it with some text, you'll see that you can be a new creature outside of Christ. You can be, and I'll show you in the scriptures. Those who are in Christ Jesus are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And secondly, the resurrection of the dead. You die with him and are raised with him. You can't be resurrected outside of the resurrection of Christ. You can't. That's nonsense. Then you start idolizing the Christian again. But the Christian outside of Christ is not a Christian. And even in regeneration, we should be careful not to mention these things. And making alive, you can say, no, yeah, I've made alive and now I'm a sinner and know my sins. No, you're made alive in Christ, raised out of death, resurrected. I live, but not anymore me. Christ lives in me. That's making alive in Christ. Why I'll say this, I think in eternity it will be shown that some people thought they were born again, and Christ will say, I don't know from where you are. I really don't know. You think you are, but you're not. The foolish virgins, separated from the world. Surely if I would ask them, are you born again, they would have said, I show it. I separate it from the world, and I have a candle, and Christ says, it's all outside of me. It's not true. But congregation, that's not only a warning, that's also a comfort. If it's in Christ Jesus, we can. We will. For he died and he raised. It's God's work in Christ. There's hope. But if I have to say it's your work and show it yourself, and that's hopeless. That's really hopeless. Now I'll come to it, but let's first sing 64, 1 through 3. 64, 1 through 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. 1, 2, and 3, 64. And this is the regeneration, so highly celebrated in scriptures, and denominated, that means given another name, so regeneration, and there are the names for the regeneration, that is a new creation. So regeneration means a new creation. Or the resurrection from the dead. That's another word for regeneration. Or a making alive. A dead sinner making alive. That's another word or expression for regeneration. So we can say, I'm made alive, or I'm a new creature. And I'm resurrected from the dead, but what does it mean? Can that be separated? Can you say, I'm made alive outside of Christ? Can you? Can you say that you are a new creature outside of Christ? Can you say that? Is that biblical? It's important to investigate, I think. Some say so today. You might be regenerated to have a no faith. And you might have a faith not knowing Christ. That's what they teach today, somewhere here and there. But is that biblical? And if it's not biblical, we should reject these doctrines. Now let's go in the first place to the word new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'm teaching you, or pointing to the scriptures in this matter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, by faith united in Christ, he is a new creature. So you can be a new creature if you're not in Christ, believing in Christ, united with Christ. You can't say, I'm a new creature, and not knowing Christ. You can't. It's not scriptural. It's wrong. It's laying a wrong foundation for salvation. But again, in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision awaited anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So in Christ, circumcision doesn't mean a lot, or uncircumcision. You might be circumcised, but only in Christ you are a new creature. Not by baptism or circumcision, but by faith. You don't trust your baptism, you trust Christ to be baptized, or you're baptized to trust Christ. In Christ, then you're a new creature. Christ is a new creature, and when you're in Him, you are a new creature in Christ. So you can't say, I'm a new creature outside of Christ. You can't. Biblical wrong. Resurrection. I've said regeneration is resurrection. Another word for regeneration. And then we go, Romans 6:5. And again, I use the text verses. I could explain them all, but I'm using them, staking to the subject we deal with this night. But Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. His resurrection is my resurrection. By a true faith, you die with him and raise with him. So you can't speak about resurrection outside of the resurrection, outside of the communion with Christ by faith. Then you're wrong. Making alive. Another word for making alive is quickening. dead sinners are quickened, made alive. Now, Pastor, I can be made alive. No, you can't be outside of Christ. You can't say, I'm made alive and now I'm starting to repent. No. You need faith. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened together with Christ. So, made alive with the quickening, the resurrection of Christ. I live by faith, the Son of God. And what I live by faith, made alive in Christ. Out of death, raised. And again, you can't say I'm made alive spiritually outside of Christ. You can't. You can be awakened, but you can only be made alive in Christ by his quickening grace, by his resurrection, by his life. And what I live by faith in Christ. Now, congregation, it seems to be condemning. No, it isn't. When it's in Christ, it will be. And when you have to add to it or to subtract for it, it's over. And all God's people know that they were made alive in Christ, raised out of death, made a new creature. All things have passed away. They don't like it if you preach it. Or you say it. They say, oh, you know it way too sure. And you should bring Christ everything in. I do. Christ is the substance and the being of the church. In Christ, a new creature. And they may not like you, but continue to teach these things. And if you're not, you're not faithful. You're old Roman Catholic again. By baptism regenerated, infused grace, and now I'm starting to be. And I don't even need to believe. If I believe that I'm in the right church, I'm saved. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. But hope in the Lord, ye people. Now, when I have said these things, I teach you again, don't make a regenerated person independent. And John said, in him was the light and the life of man. Don't you think that's in regeneration too? It is. You can't say I'm a born again Christian outside of the knowledge of God and Christ. We can't. Outside of faith and repentance, or repentance and faith. But congregation, that's a work that I'm not doing, and you're not doing. That's a work supernatural of God. Therefore, the continuing, it says, it's not only by the outward preaching of the gospel that you're born again. I taught you last week that the Remonstrants believe that by outward preaching you're ready to believe. You get the ability to believe. You can be saved. Only by the outward preaching you can make. Do you remember last week? The will is not changed, says the Remonstrant. We have a will, and we can make a decision. But the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin. You can't. God makes a decision. It's grace alone. It's God alone. It's God's work alone. That's my comfort. That's my hope. That's your hope. So not only by the outward preaching of the gospel, or by moral suasion. What do I mean? Give me another word for it, Pastor. Well, I counsel you. Go, come. The Dutch canons say it can be said. Can you expect something in a man to answer the call? You expect that he is able to answer the call. But the Dutch canons don't say persuasion, but say command. Preaching the gospel by command of repentance and faith. Now why? You remember? The gospel shouldn't be preached for a possible answer of me. This command. Why is the command given in the Bible? Again, listen carefully. Yeah, the Remonstrants say the law is given and you must be able to answer the law, otherwise it wouldn't be given. No, Paul says the law is given for one purpose, to convict that you don't have faith nor repentance. But then in Acts 8 it says, he is risen to a prince and king to give Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. And again, law and gospel. Huh? God commands you to believe and to repent. What does that mean? Beg for it. If he commands, he will give it. But don't think he can. Already from the first years of preaching, when I was a student in the north, they said, you always say you have to convert, you have to be converted and you can do it. There was a lady in church who said, I'm never coming back to you. For you say you have to do it, and you say the same moment, and you can do it. It makes me crazy, she said. But she didn't understand. What you can do, God can give you. It's grace alone. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. That's begging. Knowing you're a sinner, dead, and God is mighty to give you life in Christ. And again, it doesn't answer. Now, I know I have another word, and I'm not saying you're not responsible. Listen, before you answer me and object to me that they say I take not the responsibility of man, I take the responsibility of man. But by your responsibility, you can't answer God. You're dead. You're responsible. You're fallen in paradise. It's your own fault. This week I had a conversation with an old man and he said, I'm too late. He said, I'm too late. I didn't use the opportunities. And he started crying. He says, I'm very sick. Somewhere here in the neighborhood. I'm too late, he said. I have had so much opportunities, but I didn't use it. And he didn't understand what's grace. I said, listen, what you can do, God can do. And you misused it. I talked about Saul of Tarsus. I said, did Saul of Tarsus ask for it? No. Did he get it? Yeah. He was an enemy of it. Did he get it? Yeah. Out of merit of grace, merely of grace. But we always want to be ready for it. But I believe, dear, the more you're not ready, the nearer you are to it. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. We always want to be ready for grace. And I've never seen a sinner truly converted being ready for grace. He forsook everything. And he's not ready anymore. Dear, have hope in God. For you might try to be ready and you're not ready. You might try to promise God to change your life and you didn't. He is the friend of publicans and good sinners. Sinners. Grace alone. God's glory alone. And congregation, those people teach, yeah, that God starts a work and you finish it. Do you know how it's called? cooperating in grace. Cooperating grace. God starts and I continue. In South Africa, I told you, I had a man, he comes even from Canada. I think he passed away. And we discussed the matter. He said, do you know, God fills your glass half and you fill the other half. He said, no. He fills it overflowing. And so I'm grateful. It's outside of your works. It's outside of your works. Although you have responsibility, but you forsook it. Every day you're forsaking it. But God doesn't. That's what I need to preach. And I know that's not according to man's desire. Do you know, I could have way more listeners if I would allow you to do anything. Do a bit, come a bit, go a bit. The Pharisees went through all the lands to make disciples. But I tell you this, you say it's against you, but it's for you. If it's all of grace, then I can be saved. It's all of God in Christ, then I can be saved. To him be the glory. It's outside of him, out of him, through him, and into him. And if it's partly by me, I take the honor. Does it mean that you have not to preach the command? Yeah, I have to preach the command. For one reason. Conviction. That you may pray to get what God commands you. That happens in Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Thou art gracious and righteous and thou preparest the way in Christ for me. It's delivering. Remonstrants are legalists. You have always to perform, to do, to continue, to keep, to make it, to do it. When I was a student, I came in a certain congregation, and the minister was half a remonstrant. He said that he was reformed, but he was really not. And I got so tired, so tired. You have to, and you must, and you go, and you do. May I ask you, have you tried to do, and to go, and to must, and to... And did you finish the work? Did you? He does. He makes. He renews. He is the Savior to save you from sins. No cooperating grace. It's sovereign grace. It's all by him, through him, and unto him. Would you take a part of it and have a tap on your shoulder that you made a good decision? You like it? Yeah? I made always the wrong decision, but he made the right decision. To him be the glory. Forever and ever. Are you not put to the spot? I am, but in a command, not persuasion, not saying, oh, be wise, go in there. No, not that. Show by the law that you're not, and that he is all, and does what he commands. That's what Augustine said. That's true doctrine. Augustine said, give what thou commandst, and command what thou willst. It's wonderful, eh? God commands it. Give what thou commandst. And then commandst. That's reformed, he said. That's biblical. That's Augustine. And if you don't, then you have the Pelagius. That's the enemy of Augustine. He said, now you can make your own decision. You're not dead. You're weak. But by hearing the gospel, you're strengthened. And now you can make, by your own free will, a choice. But that's a hard thing. I've seen remonstrants, they have to get it themselves and to keep it themselves and to do it themselves and to prove themselves and to... I don't need to. He is my all in all. He did it and does it and continues. There is perseverance of saints, not my perseverance, but God perseveres with me to him be the glory. I need eternity to glorify God for his sovereign grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. And therefore, it's a supernatural work. You can't stop it. God's work is irresistible. Some people say to me, I can't stop the work of grace. I say, no. You think that you little mice or ant can stop the glorious God working in your soul? You think so? You think so? You don't know who's God, who creates, regenerates out of nothing to the glorious purpose of his own glory congregation. It's a supernatural work. It has nothing to do with me and my body and my will and my natural thing. It's supernatural. It's God's work. To him be the glory. Most powerful, and at the same time delightful, astonishing, mysterious, and ineffable, and ineffable. Now, words for that gracious work is, he's powerful. I can make a communist if I'm clever enough to teach the communist doctrines. And many were communists by teaching. I can make a capitalist by doctrines and money. But I can't regenerate a man. I can't. I can't even convert you. I can. I can. And I'm so happy I can't. Then the ransom would be enough, wouldn't be enough. But if God does, it's everlastingly done. It's an everlasting salvation. It's a divine salvation, supernatural. Powerful, drawing from darkness. Paul was an enemy, but powerful. He was beaten down. And Christ said, why do you persecute me? And he repented and believed. The most severe enemy I shouldn't be afraid of. God is mighty to turn him in a single moment, the twinkling of an eye. He regenerated Paul. I say it again. Manasseh, such an enemy of grace, who burned children to the Moloch, and in prison he turned them around powerfully, drew them out of darkness to his marvelous light. It's a divine, powerful work. No enemy is too strong not to surrender if God works. It's also delightful when the love of Christ and the love of God is poured out in your heart. You start repenting. Do you know what I'm saying? That's such a wonderful thing to be unloaded of all your sins, to repent. I can tell you. When the back is broken and you may pour out your soul to God, that's delightful. You struggle with it. You fight it. But there is love in it. That's an evangelical work of the love of the Holy Spirit and faith working in your heart. It's astonishing and mysterious. You don't know where the wind comes from and where it goes. You don't know how it goes. Can you? It's mysterious. It's a mystery. I have an old friend in the Netherlands, and sometimes he goes with me preaching. We drive together, and then we look at each other and laugh sometimes. And he said, dear friend, and I hide his name, he said, we laughed at each other, said, "It's a mystery, isn't it?" Yeah, he said, "It's a mystery." And the thing is, you can't tell a mystery to others except they know the mystery. You can't tell a secret work of the Spirit until they know the secret work of the Spirit. Then His Spirit confesses with my spirit that we are children of God. You can meet someone, I don't know, in BC. They've never met. But the moment you meet him and he opens his mouth, it's one mind, one soul, one grace, one glory. I even tell you right, same things now, but I can't do it different. I've seen children of God on the other side of the road and we started waving. And I knew he was a child of God. And the Spirit was witnessing. They say, "Ah, but it's a mystery of grace." It's really a mystery. Jan, how is it when you die? And then it broke. He said, "But after the sour comes the sweet," and we cried both. Yeah. I can teach you every doctrine, but not convert you. Might be a means, but it's a supernatural work. It's a divine work in your heart. I can witness of it. I can warn you if it not happens, but you need to get it with God. Pray, back, ask, and it will be given. And he won't give you a serpent if you ask for the Holy Spirit. Let's sing 438, 2 and 3. 438, 2 and 3. 438, 2 and 3. The fear of God is clean, a fountain of serene and everlasting bliss. And what's following? 2 and 3. 438. God works in his marvelous manner are certainly infallibly and effectually regenerated. Okay, let's go first. God is the author of this work, so that all in whose heart God works this marvelous manner are certainly, infallibly, and effectually regenerated. It speaks about surety, assurance. If we mix our works with God's works, is never assurance. In the Roman Catholic Church, they mix law, what you have to do, and what God does. Righteousness before God is not only grace, it's also works. Grace and works. But therefore, in the Roman Catholic Church, you can never be sure. And to be sure is even condemnable. Not allowed. They say it's better to doubt than to believe. And we in our churches have the same problem. They mix law and gospel, and you can never be sure, because your works are not full, not perfect. So you always But if it's only God's work, there is certainty and assurance. God doesn't do a half work. You take away the comfort of the church if you mix your work with God's work. Really, you take it away. It's certain. It's assured. It's effective. So our fathers were fighting against the discomfort of souls. My dear, if it's not all God's work, then I'm gone. It's over with me. I spoil it. Misuse it. Today I'm for it, tomorrow I'm against it. Even my best works, my prayers sometimes are not good. Well, I pray sometimes, all kinds of things are in my mind. Don't you? You know? And sometimes I even don't desire to pray. Luther says, praying is a difficult work. It's a hard work, he says, praying. When there is no need. When there is need, you don't call it praying anymore. You start calling it crying for grace. Short. But sure. So if it's God's work in your heart, it's efficient. It's certain. God doesn't do a half work. Infallible. Now, when God works, you start to believe. And to actually believe. So, faith is not my work, it's the work of the Spirit in my heart. Repentance and faith. And when God works, you start actually to believe. I read a letter, a sermon of Luther. He said, God doesn't believe for you. He makes you to believe what he does. By faith you're saved in Christ. So he works by his Spirit, repentance and faith, and you believe effectually, trusting in him alone. Men, you will say to me, well, your preaching is always down, down, down. No, it's not down. If I'm down, he is up. That's grace. If I die, he lives. If I can't do it anymore, then he says, I'll do it for you. If I give up, he says, I start. When I'm blind, he opens my eyes. Start to be a sinner, and it's impossible, you know. There were times you thought you could do it, isn't there? Foolishness. But when you came to the end of the law, Christ was your Savior. And all in all. You see, yeah, but Pastor, God wants the whole world to be converted. How do you know it? I have sometimes said that the remonstrance made God foolish. He wants it and he doesn't do it. Now what now then? If he wants it, why doesn't he do it then? Yeah, you can resist God. Do you think you can resist God? You little mice. You little mouse. You little bird. You think you can resist the eternal God? Do you? Do you what Luther says? He robs your sin from you and draws you out of darkness and brings you to light. Against your will sometimes even. Naturally against your will. Enemies are reconciled to God. Please don't. I talked to a man this week and I said, why do you always think bad about God? It's too late. Why don't you think good about God? That he can do what you can do. Why always? I told you the story of one of my uncles before, but I do it again. Why not? He had a coaster. I worked for him on the coaster the whole year, going all over Europe, Norway, East Europe, and he was a serious man. When it was Saturday night, and we went from England to Finland, we changed the route a bit, and we were having a Lord's Day in one of the fjords in Norway. 12 o'clock, the anchor, 12 o'clock up, and there we went again, all day. My captain, on early morning, 8 o'clock, started with an harmonica singing psalms. And then we had two sermons, and God used it for people on board. But he was serious, and he got cancer. I said, how is it, Uncle Flip? Yeah, I said, no. And I came next week and I said, how is it? And he started crying. He said, I read the book of Boston, Kromme in het Levenslot. Krom, the crooked in lifespan, I don't know. He says, and he started crying, do you know what I saw this week? God was willing and I didn't want to. He started crying, God is willing and I didn't want to. And he started repenting that he had sinned against the gospel, not only against the law that he knew, but now against the gospel. I said, but Uncle Flip, you need to be cut off of all your selfishness, your own works, by the law of God, to be engrafted in Christ. And the day when he passed away, 2 days before, he said, come. His wife called me up. I said, how is it, Uncle Flip? He says, I've seen him, my Savior, revealed to my soul, my all in all. My Uncle, my Christ, all in all. My Uncle. He had resisted in his religious life, thinking that he could perform the law, being better than others. that he was killed by law, living by faith in Christ. Now, when God works, and then the second thing, he works faith. He works, so I said passive, and if he works in you, he works out in you. So, if he works in you, then he works faith outside of you in Christ. That's the active side of regeneration. There are two sides of a coin. Not one side. Not only passive. It happens to me and now it's over. No, when it happens to you, he works faith. Read Hellenbrook. The fruits of regeneration are faith, hope, and love. Read Hellenbrook. Fruits of regeneration are faith, hope, and love. The moment you are regenerated, you believe and repent and hope. Now, you are influenced by God, the consequence and becomes inactive, whereof the man is himself right to say to believe and to repent. God works faith in you to believe and to repent, to hate sin by faith in Christ. Evangelical repentance. I'm not going into it. I did it several times. You start crying about your sins, desire for righteousness, to be delivered of the body of sin. That's the inner desire of a child of God. You have broken the gospel so many times. By the virtue of that grace received. Now, can you explain it? No, I can't. It can be fully comprehended. Comprehended is brought together. Can be. Can you comprehend how God created the world? Can you comprehend how God recreates a soul? Can you? Can you really comprehend? I can't. The manner of this operation can be fully comprehended by believers in this life. They know a bit of it, but they can't be fully comprehending it. We know in part, eh? We know in part. Till the fullness come, then we will see all. We know in part. We see by a dark glass. We can't fully comprehend it. Oh, what now? Therefore it's not sure? No, listen. Faith is not by comprehension. Faith rests in God and in His Word. You believe what you can't comprehend. No, it's with creation so. Some say, creation can be done by God. Oh. Creation goes by itself. Now, I can't comprehend that God created the world in 6 days. I can't comprehend. I don't want to comprehend it even. I want to believe it. I don't want to search all these things. We have time and age, then they say we should search the truth and then we understand and comprehend and know. No, you're not. You believe what God says. Now, can you tell me a man? Yeah. The man that had to preach in Nineveh. And he was in the belly of a fish. Now people say, how can that be? Yeah, now, I believe it. Do you know what he believed was in the belly of the fish? That he once would be in the temple of God again. No, he was among the intenses of the fish. And but God did what he believed. Or he believed what God would do. And the fish threw him on the shore. And he started to preach Christ and him crucified. 40 days. Can you tell me that you can comprehend what you believe? I can't. I don't need to know it. I don't need to prove the Bible. I don't need to. I need to believe God's word, not to prove it. Not to discuss it, to prove it. Do you think your mind can prove the infallible word of God? You can only believe it. And if you start reasoning, you don't believe it. Unless you are as the children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You remember that I said last week, the professor said, go and throw away your childish faith of the Sunday school. I said, professor, if you're not a child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I want to keep my faith of the Sunday school. And he laughed. But he knew what God did and would do. He went outside of the revelation, outside of the word of God, reasoning, natural theology. I leave it because you don't know probably even what I mean. But notwithstanding, I can't comprehend it. They rest, satisfied with knowing and experiencing by the grace of God, they are enabled to believe with the heart and to love their Savior. That moment that you first believed with your heart and found rest here when it wasn't possible anymore, and you experienced it, and therefore you know it, not by searching, but by experience. Experimental faith is strength for the soul. Now I tell you, let's go deeper. I ask the people of God, do you know what happened to your soul? Yeah. Would you forget it? No. If it would awake you this night, you could tell what God did to your soul. I know in whom I believed. That's faith knowledge. And the devil always say, would it be and is it true and did God do it? And there you start fighting. But you know it by experience of faith. Faith is knowledge. Knowledge of the word of God. By faith in Christ and the love of the Savior. Two things, faith and love. Faith is never without love, and love is never without faith. Two things. May I ask you, do you believe the Savior? Are you engrafted in him? Do you love him because he first loved you? Is he your spiritual husband? Your all in all. And now you know if it's true or not. Even by this question, you know if it's true or not. You know it. God knows it and you know it. By faith and experience, by faith and love, by the experience of faith, I know in whom I believed. Therefore, the Catechism says in the second question, how many things, how many parts do I need to get to know? That's not knowing here. That's knowing experimentally by faith, by misery, the grace in Christ and the thankfulness. I need to know it. I know in whom I'm believing. May I ask you, now I'm going through the rows. Do you know in whom you believed or don't you? Are you a stranger to God in your own heart, in your own soul? Oh, poor sinner. And ye child of God, you know him. Because he knows you. you trust him because he is your all in all. Life regenerated, raised from death, recreated. A new man in Christ Jesus. All old things are passed away, and he became in that single moment all things new. And congregation, really, I can't convert you, but pray for it. Ask it, that the Spirit might teach you these things, that Christ be your all in all, and you are his nothing in nothing. To him be the glory. Glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy word and the doctrines so clearly exposed and expounded here and told us. And now I ask, Lord, please, that they might get to know it by faith and experience, by the experience of faith. That they know they were old, that they know they were cut off, had no hope anymore. They know the revelation of thy Son to their hearts and eternal life in him. Lord, I pray, please, Lord, please, 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 please. Remember the widows, the orphans, the half-orphans, the mothers and the fathers, the students and the engineers coming to Canada to help for a machine. Every soul here, that we might know thee, being known by thee. We ask these things for Jesus' sake only. Remember us next week and all the things which will happen and the busy things we're in. Remember the sick among us at home, an old age home. Remember the house visitation. Remember the gathering of the women this week. Ah, please. Lord, please work among us that sovereign grace in Christ, that supernatural work for Jesus' sake. Amen. 261, 1 and 2. 261, 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he has wrought. His right hand and our most holy triumph to his cause have brought. And what's following? 1 and 2, 261. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.